You know, every week seems to get harder. Every week seems there's more stuff. But as the scripture says, the outer man is perishing, but the inner man is renewed day by day. God can give you a peace that passes human understanding. When everyone else is in a tizzy and in a storm, you can have an inner peace that the world does not have because you have hope. You have hope. As I said, Christians should be the most optimistic people in the world. You should always be thinking it's going to work out. Amen. If you have Christ, it is going to work out. One way or the other, it is going to work out. But today, this Sunday, we're going to continue in our series on gifts of the Spirit. And for the theme, we're taking from 1 Corinthians 12:4. It says there are diversities of gifts. That means that there are more than one type of spiritual gift that God gives us. But it says the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries. That means when you say minister, that means to serve. Different ways of serving, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities in this translation, or actually in the King James it says organizations. But it's the same God who works all in all. That's why you have different churches. Their ministry may be different. Their outreach may be different. But if they're a Holy Ghost-filled church, then it's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit. And not every church suits everybody because churches have personalities. They take their personality usually from the leadership. And that's why I want our church to have a personality that is love, that is welcoming, that is not condemnation, because we want to be the image of Christ. Amen. So we were talking last week about understanding spiritual gifts. The Bible says that when Jesus arose, he gave gifts unto men, gifts plural, not just the Holy Spirit, but other gifts that come from the Holy Spirit. And the New Testament likens the church to a body. That means we all have different functions, different abilities. You know, the preamble to the Constitution says we hold these truths self-evident that what? All men are created. Well, is that really true? Well, not in abilities. Not really. You know, I will never be an NBA player. I'm too short, too slow, too fat. I don't have that ability. So in what sense are we created equal then? That's right. We're all children of God. We are equal in value before God. So if there's somebody you don't like, or is a jerk, or is abrasive, you know, I've developed a methodology to try and deal with that as a Christian. I don't want to see them as they are right now, because that person is not someone I really want to love. But God says we should love everybody. I try and say, look at that person and imagine what they were when they were a baby, when they were born, when they were helpless, when they were innocent, when they were so, you know, it's very hard not to love a baby. You must have no humanity if you can't see a little, you know, we have some very newborn infants, some less than 2 weeks, and when you pick them up, they just want to snuggle on your shoulder. If I let them near my wife, she'll take them away. I mean, that's what I try and go through mentally when I'm dealing with some people who they have let life, they've let circumstance, they've let Satan change and warp the person that they were born to be. But God calls us and says, here, I'm going to give you some gifts that can start to minister to those needs. Let's go to the second slide, which is about understanding gifts. 1 Corinthians 12:4 says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. So there are different gifts. So we are not all equal in the sense of our abilities or what God may give us, but we're all as valuable. Anyone had an ingrown toenail? Suddenly you really notice how important your foot is. You see people come in and you kind of move it out the way. You start protecting it, you know. The parts of our bodies that we think we don't need, just wait till that part gets hurt, and you find out how much you need it. For a while, I don't know if it's arthritis or what, but this thumb here went really weird on me, and it was giving me so much pain, and I was thinking, I can't be suffering from arthritis right now. I'm too young, right? I thought I was too young. Anyway, it was giving me so much problems, and I realized how important this thumb is to doing anything. I mean, it was just terrible sometimes. I couldn't write properly. I couldn't open things. So although the thumb is one part of our body, right? There are other parts of our body that are just as important to the body. Let me ask you this. Which part of your body would you want to give up? Exactly. And that's how we should treat each other. Although we may not all be the eye, the ear, none of you would give up willingly any part of your body. Just say, okay, I don't need my ear. I hate it. It's always been sticking out, so just cut it off. Even those of you with ears that do stick out, I don't think you would want me to cut it off. Any volunteers? No. So that's what the body. So we're equal in value because we're part of the body, not because we have the same talents, but we are equal in value because of the body. So the scripture says there's diversities of gifts, differences of ministries, and there are diversities of operation. So there are some scriptures that deal with the gifts of the Spirit. Romans 12, verse 6 to 8, and some of this is review from last week. Here are some of the things that are gifts. Prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation. Exhortation is when you encourage someone, when you tell them, remind them of a scripture, and you encourage them. You know, one of my favorite ones, God has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. Leadership. Here's something. Mercy. Is mercy a gift? Yes. Some people are just so judgmental, so ready to bring down the wrath of God on people. 1 Corinthians also mentions gifts, and it mentions a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, discerning or distinguishing between spirits, tongues, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And then 1 Peter 4:11 speaks about speaking or preaching. That's a gift. And whoever renders service helps. You know, it's so important, as I said so many times, that this church be cleaned. And when I come here on a Saturday and Sunita and her sister are cleaning the church, they're doing it with such joy. They're singing, they got their music on, they're vacuuming, and it takes them 4 or 5 hours to clean this church, and they do it with such joy that I have to believe that that's one of their gifts. Because when you're doing something you enjoy, it doesn't come like work. It doesn't come like a burden. But if it could be the greatest thing, but if you hate it, it's such a burden to do. You don't want to do it. Amen. And last week we talked about what's the difference between gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible mentions the fruit of the Spirit, and it also mentions gifts. Anyone remember what's the difference between gifts and fruit of the Spirit? Gifts of the Spirit, fruits of the Spirit? Remember, you have to come to the mic if you're going to speak. I know it's a pain, but that's so that everyone can hear you because we are streaming this live.
The gifts are gifts that God gives. And the fruit is something that you have to bear.
That's right. The difference between the gift is that you get a gift right away when you're filled with the Spirit. Now, you may not be aware of it. You may have never used it. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, though, is a process that comes from a mature Christian. So that's the difference. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me, that's Jesus speaking, and my words abide in you, and it shall be done unto you, you shall ask what he will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that he bear much fruit. Bearing fruit is a process. You don't plant a seed and come back the next day and get an orange from it, right? It takes time. So the fruits of the Spirit are things that a mature Christian will exhibit. It takes a mature plant to bear fruit. So the moment you plant it, it doesn't bear fruit. So the moment we come to God, we're not instantly perfect. We're not instantly loving everybody. We're not instantly doing all the things we should. But if we continue, he said, if you abide in me, if you stay plugged in to Jesus, over time you'll start to bear fruit. You'll start to, the people you you used to get angry at that. You'll start to be more understanding to you. You'll start to be more like Jesus. So the difference between the fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of the Spirit is a process. The gifts of the Spirit are immediately you get and receive the Holy Spirit. Now, you may not be aware of it. You may not know you have it. And that's why we're having this class, because if all the gifts of the Spirit work, the Bible said they are for the edification, the blessing of the church. So the gifts are given freely, but fruit are the result of a process. The Holy Spirit gives gifts. The fruit of the Spirit is the result of the Holy Spirit's work in a believer's life. Fruit bearing is proof of being a genuine Christian. That's the only way. Jesus said, by their fruits, you shall know them, right? So you wouldn't expect a mature Christian to be cussing up a storm, right? Or behaving in a way that, you know, Jesus wouldn't. It would be an immature Christian that would do that, who still has not yet let the Holy Spirit work on their lives and to see themselves changed by that power. So let's go about some truths. This is still review from last week. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, this is Paul speaking in his epistle to the Corinthian church. He said, I would not have you ignorant. And there's a joke that goes with that. My old pastor said, I don't want any ignorant brethren, you know. But what he's trying to say is that you can have a gift and not know it. So that's why he's teaching. I don't want you to be ignorant that there are gifts that come with God's filling of the Holy Spirit. So this proves that there are Christians who are unaware that they may have a spiritual gift. Now imagine if you have got the gift of healing and don't know it. What a detriment that would be. Imagine if God has given you the gift that where you could lay hands or pray for someone and they would be healed. But most of us are too afraid to maybe even try that because we think, well, what if it doesn't work? What if not? I'll look stupid. But the Bible speaks about stirring up the gift, and that's why we're talking about this. So there are many gifts, but a lot of people are ignorant that they have a gift. Let's go on. So now the model, of course, is Jesus himself. Hebrews 5:1. For every high priest, speaking about Jesus or the Old Testament, the way the Jews were set up, for every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men. That means before you became a high priest, you had to be consecrated. The previous high priest would lay hands on you and anoint you. For every high priest taken from a man is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may both offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. So Jesus, when he died, he was a sacrifice for sin, but it also says that the priest also offers what? Gifts. So it wasn't just our redemption from sin, but there's also gifts that come from the high priest, which is Jesus Christ. It goes on in chapter 8 of Hebrews, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. What he's saying is, if in the Old Testament, the model that Jesus, that God set up, where the high priest could not only offer sacrifices, but gifts, then Jesus, who is the fulfillment of the model, also must have had something to give us. That's what he's saying. Wherefore, it is of necessity that this man, speaking of Jesus, have somewhat also to offer. Paul is explaining about spiritual gifts, and what he's saying, it's not only that he saves us, but there is more to it. Imagine if you had a word of wisdom. Imagine if God supernaturally told you the wise choices in your life to make. Anyone wish for a time machine? I do. If I had only. Anyone ever said that? I wish I had not done. I would be rich right now for all the money I've wasted on stupid decisions. Now, the Bible speaks that there's a gift called the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom, where someone is supernaturally empowered to have the right decision. Wouldn't that be great? Someone come up to me and say, Pastor, well, we know you want to do this and this for the church, but here's what the Lord told me. That can happen. My father witnessed that. I have not personally witnessed that, but God has certainly sometimes given me a word that tells me what to do. And for pastors, that's a gift that I really would like to have. So, first of all, Jesus, of course, offered his body. That was the sacrifice. But then he also gave gifts, the gift of his spirit. Now, Psalms 68:18 foretells that. Speaking about Jesus when he rose from the dead, it says, "Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive." When he died, you know why he came the first time, right? We've taught that many times. Why did Jesus come the first time? How many kingdoms are there? Three. There are three kingdoms. Three kingdoms. There's a kingdom of heaven, kingdom of earth, and the kingdom of the grave, the place of the dead. Kingdom of heaven never left God's jurisdiction. It's always been under his control. But when man sinned, the kingdom of earth and the kingdom of the grave came into being. And so Jesus came the first time, not to take back this earthly kingdom, but to take back the kingdom of the grave. And so the Bible says that when he came, he led captivity captive. That means everybody, all the righteous dead who had ever died, were released from that kingdom of the grave. And I said the righteous dead only. And this is what the psalm is saying. Thou hast led captivity captive. That's why when he arose in Matthew, he said, "All power in heaven and earth is given unto me." He says, "I have the keys of where? Hell and the grave." That's why a Christian now who dies does not go to the grave. Where do we go? That's right. Paul says in the New Testament, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. That's why many years I used to have a fear of death. Not that I want to die. But I absolutely believe now if this body, if this temple, if this shell were to dissolve, there's only one place I'm going. Do not pass, go directly to heaven. If you are filled with the Spirit, that's the only place you can go. Before Jesus came, people died. They went to this place called the grave. But when he came and he released the prisoners, that's what Psalm 68:18 is saying. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive, thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. That's why Paul says that the gift is what? Without repentance. God's calling and gifts are without repentance. Isn't that amazing? To me, that blows my mind. Who would want to give a gift to someone who is rebellious and just got a stinking attitude? But God loves us so much that he will give a gift even when we don't deserve it. And everyone who is filled with the Spirit has at least one gift. Question, do you know your gift? Don't answer me. Amen. Here it is, Romans 11:29. Paul says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." Now, that doesn't mean you're saved. It means, though, that you have to respond to that call. God doesn't just call good people. That's when he came on earth. He ate and dined with everybody that was a sinner, publicans, tax collectors, prostitutes. In fact, the one time they said, "Don't you know that lady who she is? How come you're going into that man's house?" You see, God's calling is not to those who are already think they're all got it all worked out. He said, "I came to call sinners to repentance." So for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. What is the reason for gifts? Hebrews 2:4 says, "God also bearing them witness both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles." So the gifts are for signs and wonders to as witnesses or God's stamp of approval according to his own will. And I have to get some new stories. I got to get some new miracles. I've told you all mine. Well, a lot of them already. Some I still haven't told you, but that's just because they're too embarrassing. How God fixed some stuff for me that was just out of this world. I've told you some, but God is so miraculous. 1 Corinthians 14:12. "Even so, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." What it's saying is, okay, now you realize it's a gift. The reason for the gift is for the church. It's not to make you special. It's not to make you feel like I'm the called of God, but it's so that it can minister to someone else, so you can help someone else, that you can encourage someone else, that you can bless someone else. That's what the gifts are for. Let's go on 1 Corinthians 14:13. Here Paul is explaining what it's for. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue, that means if we speak in an unknown tongue, pray that he may interpret. What he's saying, it does no good if everybody in here is jibber-jabbering away and someone comes in who doesn't understand. They're not edified. They're going to think we're just crazy, right? Because they don't understand. And so Paul is saying that that's not the way to operate. That if someone speaks in tongues, there should be an interpretation. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. He says it's a good thing for your spirit, for your soul. But my understanding is unfruitful. When we speak in tongues, a lot of times we may not understand what we're saying. Our soul understands. God understands. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen? What he's saying, if someone comes into your services and everybody is speaking in tongues and everybody is running around, someone who doesn't understand, the room of the unlearned say amen. How is he going to say amen? He doesn't know what's going on. Going to think everybody's crazy because he doesn't understand the operation of the Spirit. Giving thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. So what he's saying is in our services, we should not encourage just rampant speaking in tongues with no interpretation. Speaking in tongues is actually for your private prayer. That's really what it's for. When it's in church, it should only be, or it should primarily be, if there is interpretation. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. Now that's not me speaking. That's the word speaking. I'm not making that up, Sister Jeanette. I know, it's so far to come. I'll repeat what you're saying. No, it's not wrong. It's not wrong, but there is a balance. There is a balance. She asked in a worship service, is that wrong to speak in tongues? No. But there is a balance because I have seen some services where people, you know, knock out somebody. Well, not knock out somebody, but they get so carried away emotionally that they hit someone. Now, that person isn't edified, and they may never come back to that church because they think this church is crazy. That's what Paul is saying. Our worship, the Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We shouldn't let our emotions, and sometimes, you know, we're human beings. And if God has done something awesome for you, you're going to, you know, it's like The Price is Right. You ever seen them when they call them down? They come running down. Have they won anything yet? Yeah. Nothing. Nothing. They haven't won a single thing. All they've done is been called. Their names, they go crazy. They jump on the host sometimes. You've never seen that? You don't watch daytime soaps? It is. Here's the thing that our Pentecostal churches, we sometimes put too much emphasis on speaking in tongues and we leave all the other gifts alone. Once someone is filled with the Spirit and they speak in tongues, we say, okay, you're done. You've made it. Sit. You've got it. That's the end. No, they're gifts, plural. And that's what I'm teaching. If you don't know your gift, you should be seeking for that. You shouldn't stop seeking just because you've spoken in tongues. That's my point. And in our services, Paul is saying here that the speaking in tongues, if it doesn't edify the church, that person should basically sit down. If there's not an interpretation, he's saying that person, if it becomes a disturbance where the service cannot even continue. And I've seen that before. So we need to have proper teaching in our churches of how the Spirit is supposed to manifest. When we're worshiping, we're emotional beings. I speak in tongues sometimes when in service. And probably a lot of you do too, but it's got to be in balance and not so that someone who comes in who doesn't understand what's going on leaves the same way. In that case, they're not edified, they're not benefited. Sister Anita. I'll repeat her answer. I will repeat it. I'll repeat it. Go ahead.
No, I'm glad you brought this up because I read this a long time ago when I first started reading the Bible, which was 2 years ago, and it's taken me a long time. So when it says, when speaking in tongues, there must be an interpreter of what you're saying. How can that be? I'm not understanding. Plus, I don't speak in tongues. I don't know how. I don't know if I'm going to be given that gift. It's to my understanding that I might be at some point, and I'm waiting for it.
Amen.
I feel truly left out because I don't know, you know how to speak in
okay.
tongues.
Okay, you've got
help me, Lord.
All right, you asked some good questions. Okay. There's the gift of tongues, which is a gift, right? Which is without repentance, right? That means someone, the gifts are without repentance. The initial infilling of the Holy Spirit, though, it has to be with repentance. You have to have a godly sorrow. You have to want that. And the difference is that not everyone, when he's speaking about the gift of tongues, it links that always with interpretation. It can't be a gift where one person speaks in tongues. That's not much of a gift. That would be just gibberish. So when he's speaking about the gift of tongues, it's the gift of tongues and interpretation. That's the difference. There has to be interpretation or else your gift is useless. It doesn't mean anything. Someone's going to say what that means. But if I speak in tongues and someone is able to prophetically say, thus saith the Lord, this and this and this is going to happen, or you need to do this and this, then that gift is really useful. It's manifested. But if I just speak in tongues and no one understands and there's no interpretation, Scripture says my spirit may be edified, my soul may be edified, but no one else. See, so that is the difference. Now, as far as what you're saying, you're waiting for it, it's going to happen, Sister Anita. Amen. It's going to happen. You have manifested a growth in the last 2 years. You're not the same person you were when you first walked in here. You would admit that, wouldn't you? You're able to deal with a lot more stuff now than you were able to. And so you know what? You're starting to manifest some fruit. And so that means the Spirit is going to come. Amen. Amen. All right. We've opened a can of worms here now. Good.
I think to simplify it, the gift of tongues is for the church in a corporate session to edify the body of Christ, where the gift of the Holy Spirit when you manifest it is for your private worship and spiritual building up. And so I think the difference there is that the gift of tongues that Pastor's talking about is for a corporate setting whereby tongues interpretation is given, and you're edifying the whole body of Christ. But when you speak in tongues privately, and we do so on the platform, but we're not loud, but you're building up your spiritual, when you get in your bedroom or your closet and you start speaking in tongues and getting the presence of the Lord, you're building up your spiritual man. There's a joy and there's a strength that you get because it's a direct connection. You are speaking directly. It's like a telephone line. You're plugged in to God. You understand what I'm saying? So that's the difference, I think.
Verse 14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. So when we pray privately, that's when we're supposed to do that, Sister Janice.
Study on this because I love the fruits of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. But I was reading that you cannot have the gifts of the Spirit without the fruits of the Spirit because they go hand in hand. And the greatest gift is love, so you have to have love in order to get the fruits to go with the gifts.
Okay. I'll tell you my understanding is a little bit different because remember it does say that the gifts are without repentance.
They are without repentance.
So, but the Holy Spirit, you have to have repented. Right. So I would say that. Let's go on, and if someone has some more questions, but let me try and summarize what we've said. So the gift of the Spirit is really the gift of tongues is the gift of tongues and interpretation. And it's for the church. right? And we've seen that manifested several times, Sister Figueroa.
Do you have to do your own interpretation?
You don't have to. Well, it's by faith. If you are, last Sunday, Sister Cindy, Brother Malcolm started speaking in tongues. Sister Cindy had the interpretation. It was my fault, really. I kind of cut things off a little bit too early. But she was about to speak. If you have the gift of tongues, it's like anything else. You will learn to use it. That's why we're teaching about it. It may not be something you are aware of, and you might feel to speak in tongues but are scared to do it. But if you start to operate and you operate in faith, God will give the interpretation either by you or by someone else. If it is the gift of tongues, someone else will interpret. But they're supposed to go together, is what it's saying. They're supposed to go together. Otherwise, the body, which is the church, is not. If you feel in your speaking tongues and it is a gift of tongues, don't be scared to do it because someone else may be given the interpretation. Last Sunday, Cindy had the interpretation.
So the interpretator could be scared too in that
thing. That can happen. And that's why we're teaching about it. That's why Paul said, I would not, you brethren, that you be ignorant. Because you have to find out what your spiritual gift is. That's why we're teaching about it. And if you don't know, then he said, seek and pray and ask God to reveal it to you. And if you are doing that, it will come out. It will come out. There's no doubt to me that Sunita and her sister have the gifts of what's called helps. They clean this church with joy. Although I'm the pastor, I probably could not clean this church with joy. I'd be looking at stuff and say, who threw this here? Why do they do that? I told them not to do that. They cleaned this church with joy. That's a gift. I couldn't do that. I'd be grumbling, like, why did they? I just did this last week. Here it is again. But they do it with joy. You have to be here on a Saturday. They got their music bumping, and they're just cleaning this church with joy. And that really, that just inspires me when I come here on a Saturday and they're cleaning, they're just, it's joyful. You'd think something as simple as cleaning the church, but that is a ministry. That's a need. Amen. Let's go a little bit deeper. The gifts of the Spirit can be divided into two categories. Gifts of serving, gifts of speaking. Faith is a gift of serving. Healing, miraculous powers. We're going to go in detail all of these in the next couple weeks. Service, gifts of service, gift of discernment. Helps, I talked about that. Administration. We need leadership. We need people who can organize things. Giving, that's a gift. Mercy, we talked about that. Gifts of speaking, word of wisdom. These are all things that are spoken of in the New Testament. Word of knowledge, that's a supernatural empowerment. Something is given to you that nobody else knows. My father used to tell the story when he was growing up. You know, it seems that we see all these miracles in other countries. You know why? Because they don't have all this technology to depend on. They don't have all this technology. He would tell me all these stories growing up of this lady who was working as a maid in this rich lady's house. And she had, you probably heard this story before because he used to tell it. He used to tell all kinds of stories, and she had broken the plate that belonged to the lady, and she hid it. She just threw, she didn't want to, you know, it was an expensive plate. She came to church, and as soon as she came to church, someone got up and told her exactly what she had done. Now that's supernatural, that's the Spirit. Imagine if we were having those kind of gifts in here. People would be very careful what they did outside, wouldn't they? They'd be scared to come to church and it'd be blurted out. Okay, you went down to the bar and you shot up some. People would start to behave themselves a bit better. That's what the gifts are for. My dad used to tell me, in that church, you didn't just go out there and mess around and come into church and pretend you were a Christian, because someone would get up and spell out in detail what you had done. Imagine that. When I was growing up in the church, That was also a fear. You can remember that, right? Because there were people who would come over you and start to speak in tongues and tell you stuff and reveal stuff about your life. Imagine that. Wouldn't that change how we behaved? If we knew that everything we did out there that we were pretending we weren't doing was going to be spoken out in church. But you know what? It made us better people because we knew that the Holy Spirit was real and could reveal things. We need to have those gifts manifest one more time in our churches. I'm running out of time. Prophecy. Tongues, we've talked about that. Interpretation. Apostles. That's a gift of speaking. Not everyone is an apostle, although there's lots of people calling themselves apostles. But the true definition of apostle is someone personally commissioned by Christ. Everyone who was an apostle in the New Testament personally was commissioned by Christ. They saw the risen Christ. Paul, although he wasn't an apostle during the time when Jesus was on earth, he was personally commissioned by Christ. He saw a vision and Christ spoke to him and told him, Paul, I have called you to do this and this. So if you're going to call yourself an apostle these days, I hope you have had a vision, been personally commissioned. I believe there are apostles today, but not everyone who calls themselves an apostle, Sister Jeanette. I wouldn't claim that necessarily. I know God has spoken to me. I mean, I had a three-day experience. I don't know if he said, you go be a pastor, but he did in circumstance arrange it, so I'm here. Against my flesh, but I'm being obedient to what God wants. Amen. Teachers, encouragement. So we're going to go over these in more detail. So there's gifts of servings, and there's gifts of speaking. Again, Psalm 68 tells us that when he ascended, thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious, also that the Lord might dwell among them. That's an amazing scripture. That's a whole Bible study there. There's evangelist, leadership, pastor, teacher. So gift is a God-given ability for service. And we're going to go first over the serving gifts first, and then we'll go over the speaking gifts next. So here's the summary of this, of the gifts of serving. Faith is a serving gift because you can have faith for someone else. Of course, healing, miraculous powers, and I'm going to go into the differences between these. Discernment helps. Let's give an example of the gift of faith. And in the Greek, the word is pistis, was the Greek, Koine Greek word, and it means the spiritual ability to see what isn't visible. Isn't that what Hebrews says? Now, faith is the substance of things, the evidence of things. If you can see it, you don't need faith because you don't have to believe. Do you need something this week? Is there anyone who needs something to happen this week? And the way I teach this is you have an organ that science can't get a machine on. It's called your faith organ. And they can't measure it, but it's there. Anyone know what I've said is your faith organ? Your imagination. And that's why we close our eyes when we want to see something that we can't see. Because our five senses try and override our faith organ, which is our imagination. But if I say Paris, what flashes into your mind? Eiffel Tower. In your mind, you start to see straight away Eiffel Tower. Even though you can't see the Eiffel Tower. Maybe you'll never, ever get to Paris. So that's what faith is. It's seeing using your faith organ. And like any other organ, how do you build it up? Exercise. Exercise. You want to get some muscles, what do you got to do? You got to go pump some weight. And faith, your faith organ is just like that. And if we start to see with our imagination what it is we want God to do, that's faith. Simple as it is, the spiritual ability to see what isn't visible. Faith to move mountains. Paul was given a vision while living in Asia Minor to preach the gospel in Europe. That's in Acts 16:10. He was given something that hadn't happened that he couldn't see, but that took faith. He was told, you need to go over to here to preach the gospel. The woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. Let's read that. Matthew 9:20. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. She was continually having bleeding. came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. How did she get her healing? Did Jesus do anything, say anything? No. She said within herself, she used her faith organ, if I may just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be whole. She made a declaration of something that didn't make sense, that was invisible, that couldn't by logic work. But as I've said, science has come to the understanding now that conscious thought changes reality. Conscious thought changes reality. At the forefront of physics and science, they have this theory called quantum theory, and they've proved over and over again that depending on what the observer, quote, the believer, thinks is going to happen, changes the outcome. They don't understand it, but the experiment changes depending on if there's an observer watching it. It's a very famous experiment that they've done many, many times where they shoot a particle of light, a photon, and as long as nobody is watching, they have two slits on a screen, and the photon, since it's a particle, should only be able to go through one of the slits because it's a particle. And when they're not watching it, what appears to happen, it goes through both slits. And so when they look at the screen at the back, they find what they call an interference pattern, as if a wave went through. You know, when a wave goes through, the ripples interfere with each other. But what they found is as soon as they can put a detector to tell which slit the photon goes through, the wave pattern at the back disappears. As soon as they know which way it went, it disappears. As long as they don't put something there to detect it, it behaves completely differently. They have no idea why. But you know what they're seeing? You know what they're finally, science is beginning to detect? That there's this thing called faith. And that the consciousness of the believer affects the outcome. That's awesome. That's awesome. That faith is the evidence of things, substance of things not seen. For she said in herself, if I may but touch the hem of... Jesus had nothing to do with this. He was walking along, but this woman decided in her imagination, after hearing all the things he did, I just have to touch him. Do you know that's all you have to do today? Is to reach out by faith and say whatever it is that you need in your life. And it will happen. Because science has found that the observer changes the outcome. So there's really kind of, you can categorize faith into three types. There's the faith that it takes to be saved, that's just belief in him. There's the continuing faith, the daily exercise, and then there's the faith for miracles. Let's go on a little bit more. Gift of healing. The spiritual ability to heal one who is sick. Paul called it the gifts, plural, when he's speaking about healings, because there's many types of healing. There is emotional healing. There is physical healing. So it could be that you're able to say something to someone over a period of time of counseling that helps them to heal. It's not just necessarily physical. And in fact, they say sometimes that emotional wounds are even worse than even the physical, because you can see the physical, but sometimes you can't see how someone has been hurt and torn up inside. Let's give an example of a gift of healing. Because a gift of healing usually is instantaneous. In Acts chapter 3, verse 3, Peter and John were going to the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him, he asked for some money. He was a panhandler, was crippled, probably couldn't work, and this was his only means of getting food. But Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, first of all said, look on us. Maybe this man had just was looking down, and as people passed, he didn't even look up to see who was coming. So Peter and John wanted him to first see who it is. And when he looked on them, he would realize that they don't have any money. They're just fishermen. They're not some of the rich priests. Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Okay, well, they've asked me to look. Maybe they got something. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Now, this is also related with the working of miracles, because he didn't just say that to him. You know what he did next? He took his hand and pulled him up. Maybe if he'd just spoken to him, the man would have gone, huh? And nothing would have happened. But there's the workings of miracle. There was a work involved. He took his hand and pulled him up. And as he was pulling him up, something happened. The Bible says his ankles, or whatever it was that made him lame, instantly became whole. And of course, if that happened, what are you going to do? You're going to go crazy. You don't care if it's embarrassing. I don't care if you think I'm a nutcase. I just had a miracle happen. So again, going back to worship, if God has done something great for you, you can worship. I'm not talking about that. You have a right to praise God. You have a if God has delivered you, and he's done so many things for me, sometimes I just can't say it all, but you have a right. We are human beings. We have to love God with our whole heart, mind, and body. That means the heart is emotions. We got to love him with a passion as well. So there's nothing wrong with being emotional in our services, as long as it doesn't get to where it's interfering with someone else's worship. So we see here an example of a gift of healing. Now, what's the difference between a gift of healing and just someone who doesn't have a gift of healing but prays for someone? That's what I wanted to go on. And I want to use some examples. Before the Holy Spirit was given, in Luke chapter 9, verse 1, Jesus sent his disciples out, and he gave them authority. When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now, the Holy Spirit had not been officially given yet because Jesus hadn't died. So they were given an authority. And I believe that as believers, all of us have that authority. That's not the gift of healing. So what's the difference? Well, the difference is, it may be that when I pray for you, you don't get healed instantly. It may be, the Bible says that, let them call for the elders of the church. They shall lay hand on the sick, and they shall, what's the word it use? Recover. That means it's not necessarily instantaneous, but they will be healed. They will recover. So I see the difference between the gift of healing and just the authority for healing as the difference between recovery, that is a process, and instantaneous healing. With the gift of healing, it is usually instantaneous. They just held on to the man and said, arise. And he got up and he was healed. Now, when we pray for someone, it may not be instantaneous. The Bible says, let them call for the elders of the church, let them lay hand on the sick, and if they have committed any sins, it shall be forgiven them, and they shall recover. So do not get discouraged if you don't have that gift. You still have authority to lay hands on someone and pray for them. Again, in Luke 10:1, and after this, he did it with 70 other disciples, 72 others, and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was to go. Heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God is near you. The other reason for the gifts is to bring God's kingdom. Because when people see a miracle, that's a demonstration of the power of God. And that is the reason, one of the reasons for the gifts is to demonstrate the power of God. I mean, if we were having the lame walk and the blind see, this church would be full, right? And so that's why we have to seek after the manifestation of the gifts, not just for that reason, but it's part of our ministry, Sister Johnny.
I've noticed that normally when the Lord is wanting me to do something, there's this feeling that comes inside of me. And even with like the man at the gas station, you know, there's something came over me and I refused to accept that he was laying there dead, because right away the Lord spoke in my spirit and said, he don't even know me. So I spoke the words back to the Lord and said, he don't even know you, Lord. Is he gonna just lay there and you're gonna let him just die? And as I was speaking, I know the Arab man was just paying real close attention to me. And all of a sudden, there's a boldness came inside of me to say, Lord, you are not the God of the dead.
Amen.
You are the God of the living. And as I spoke to him, and even in an incident with my brother when he was in the hospital, they gave up on him, and they said that he was going to die. And the Lord told me to go speak to the doctor and tell them to give him one more day. And I went and laid hands on him. Me and my sisters went and laid hands on my brother, and we prayed for him. And the very next day, he was out of ICU and back into a room.
Amen. 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 If I remember, didn't we come as well? We came and they were going to pull the plug on him, right? And I think we came and prayed, and everybody in the family wanted to pull the plug. Or you said no. One more day, and he's out of ICU still. Amen. He's working. He's back at work. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That God can do miracles. God has done miracles for me personally and in my family too many times. As I said, I should be dead. I just wish I had a picture of that car when I walked away from it. It was squashed. Squashed. God was so merciful. Amen. Amen. God is a God of love, and he wants the gifts to manifest. The more they manifest, it builds up the body. It builds up the body. And the thing is, what I've been teaching is that each of us, if you have the Holy Spirit, have at least one gift. Amen. That should excite you. You should be saying, what is my gift? That's why Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. We should seek to understand what the gift is that we have, because if you start to operate in that gift, imagine what a blessing you could be to your fellow worshipers, to the church, to God's kingdom. It's not about just speaking in tongues, but there are gifts of help. And I'm going to stop here at this point because I don't want to really start, but we're going to continue next week, and we're going to cover the gifts of services and the gifts of speaking. If you could all stand with me, amen. I'm going to stop on time. Amen. God is so good. God is so awesome. And we will be having our second service and worship. And I believe that God has a word for us today, although Brother Putnam did not come. I just had a feeling that that would happen when I first talked with him. He said he was going to wait to see if his wife was going to be discharged Saturday. And I said, well, Lord, they're going to be stuck with me. And he said, no, they're not going to be stuck with you. They're going to be stuck with me. One Lord, one Spirit. Amen. So I believe God has given me a word to speak to you. Amen. And we are living, there's no doubt about it, we're living in the times that were spoken of in the Bible. There's so many ways you could look at it to come to that conclusion. So many different ways. We're about to be at the dawn of the third day. It's on the third day that Jesus arose. And you look through Scripture, there's a thing about the third day. The Bible says a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is a day. Well, we are 2,000 and something. We don't know exactly what the real date is from when Jesus was born, or maybe it's from when he was crucified. But we know we're right on the edge of the 2,000th year. We are coming up to the close of the sixth day from creation, no matter which way you want to look at it. And you know what happens on the sixth day? The Bible says that there's a day of rest. But before that, we've got so many momentous things are about to happen on this planet. Amen. And I'm going to touch on that in second service. But I just want you to know it's time for us to seek God's gifts in our lives for the edification of the church. Amen. It's time for our relationship with God to draw closer to him, not to be pushing away. It's like I taught Tuesday night, we want that power of the mediator to be an attractive power of love, of grace, of peace. Amen. If you could bow your head and your hearts with me, Father, we just thank you at this time for your presence and your anointing. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to just fill this place right now with your presence so that hearts and souls will be touched. Oh God, that people will come to know you with a new depth, a new reality. Lord, reveal your gifts to us if we do not know them. Help us to start to operate, to start to use them for your kingdom. Lord, we just